Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins.
Thank you for coming back to another episode of the Realm of Heroes and Monsters Storytime with me, your host, AP Fuchs. And if you're watching the sort of the listen watch version on YouTube, you'll see that I'm in a partly renovated studio now. I've been doing some rentals on this place for a long time because it's kind of a pick-at project. But what we got behind me is all blank and things are kind of scattered, but at the same time, we're getting in a place where we can start setting up where we want to have everything, and everything is a place for everything, etc., etc. So yeah, anyway, that's the background. You can see Robin back there. Yeah, cute on the wall. Okay, anyway, this season we've been reading from Magic Man plus 15 Tales of Terror, my horror short story collection. And the story you're about to hear, called Ragman, is a special story, a very special story. And the reason why it's special will be discussed in the story behind the story segment of this podcast. So be sure to stick around for story behind the story after the story, and you get to hear why this particular story is an important one. I hope you enjoy it. So just sit back, relax, and it's story time. Ragman. Every time I come here, I always wonder the same thing. What does it take to have your work hung in an art gallery? If you take the time to think about the amount of actual physical effort that was put into some of the work that decorates its walls, you come to realize that talent or skill has nothing to do with it. When I look at some of the paintings, I try to imagine what the artist was trying to do while creating it. Were they painting with precision and care against a very expensive piece of canvas? Were they sitting upon it, splashing about in childlike joy, seeing what happens when you combine red with blue? I've been walking through an area dedicated to more abstract paintings, but most of the pieces were just a bunch of spritz and sprays of various colors on a solid tone background. Disgusting. Being an artist myself, I think it's rather shameful these untalented, crappy painters can sell their work, and the more prestigious and skillful artist gets completely overlooked. I'll never understand it. That's not why I come here. I come here to look at the paintings that deserve credit. I come to get lost in the pictures and escape reality for an hour or two every week. I allow my creative and somewhat over-imaginative imagination take control of me and throw me into the circumstances it sees fit. Adventure, horror, erotica, mystery, it doesn't matter. I just like getting away from the pressures of everyday life. And on my low income, this is the only vacation I can afford. Yep, that's me, Peter Fox, starving artist. I still live with my parents, even though I am 23 years old. I don't have a career or anything like that. My main area of expertise is wandering aimlessly from job to job and keeping a long yet diverse resume. Right now I've been dabbling in writing and hoping to someday sell a short story or two to a science fiction or horror magazine. Maybe a publishing house like Tongue and Castle, if they are interested. Maybe. Even though my body and mind ached for a classic adventure staring myself and a couple of women with large chests, well, where I played the hero and they became the damsels in distress, I had to hold myself back because today I was keeping a different agenda. I came here to find an image that could inspire something to write about. So far, all the pictures sucked, even though I've seen those same images 1,000 times before. On a nearby bench were elderly tourists, and they came to sit and discuss the latest sore bones in their body or their most recent gut-wrenching bowel movement. And I sat down and felt the life draining out of my legs. It felt so good after being on my feet all day. I sat there staring blankly into space at a picture of a mother cradling her newborn child. My mindless gaze was interrupted by a warm wind blowing in my ear. I turned swiftly to see if anyone I knew was next to me, but I found nothing, only the vacant seat beside me. It was probably my hyperactive imagination, so I simply resumed my stare. The mother in the stained glass painting looked on her child with care, her eyes expressing she knew she was holding somebody precious. All mothers felt that way about their kid, but this one knew her child was different from all the rest and, very bluntly, better than all of them as well. My eyes were about to shift to the cradled infant when that warm air caressed my ear again. This time it was a lot warmer, almost hot. I took another look around and, like before, found nothing. I got up slightly spooked and continued walking past the paintings and stopped at a nearby sculpture encased in glass. Many have seen this image before, but everybody looks at it differently. It was a small statue of Christ on the cross, hanging by his wrists and welcoming death with open arms. For the past number of months, I have been debating my faith. Is God real? Where is he then? Why haven't I been touched like the tens of millions who have? These were questions that ran through my mind constantly and, as of late, I've been receiving some answers. Sort of. Now I'm able to feel a presence, something slightly tangible, something that wasn't there before. It wasn't there all the time, but more often than not, I felt as if someone was standing next to me. They stood next to me now as I looked at the cross. My heart almost wept as I looked upon the sculpted face of Christ, his eyes crying out, "I love you," when that warm air that touched me moments ago gripped me again. Not just my ear this time, but on my face and hands as well. I let out a yelp loud enough to create an echo in the large room. This soft blowing wind burned my skin and grew more and more intense. I looked around, hoping it was just the heat vents in the building blowing on me as if it was personal, but found none. I took a few steps back and the burning persisted. This could only mean one of two things. Either I was getting violently ill, or that I was just going crazy. Just when I thought I could bear it no more, the heat let up and my face and hands cooled. Taking a deep, soothing breath, I walked briskly toward the exit. My inspirational patient can wait. It was time to go home to bed, so if indeed I was coming down with something, I can get to sleep it off. Involuntarily, my fast walking turned into a slow jog. Something was behind me. I debated whether I should glance back or not, but stuck with the latter, knowing that if someone was following me, looking back at them might make matters worse. Turning to my right, I left the exhibit devoted to religious art and entered a vast and almost maze-like room with environmental-inspired paintings hanging on every wall. Even though I've been through here many times before, I always find myself getting lost. Probably the same way my parents got lost when they visited their child's high school for a play. A knot formed on my left side, and the signs I was a heavy smoker became evident. My jog turned into a walk, then I stopped briefly for another satisfying gulp of air. Shortly after, an announcement came over the intercom saying the gallery would be closing in 5 minutes and we should all conclude our viewing. The lights began to dim, and I could already hear people starting to leave. I looked around. The paintings that hung over one story high appeared to be taking on a new life. The images that were supposed to express life's beauty suddenly became dead and grim. Even the mood of the paintings began to grow darker, like that one of the farmer baling hay. Looked more like he was packing dismembered arms and legs instead. Still walking, I heard a small clicking sound from underneath me, and the next thing I knew, my feet were tangled and I fell head first into the tiled floor. A hard thud echoed inside my skull, and a pain formed above my eyes. Pulling myself a few inches from the floor, I paused briefly in disbelief, then positioned myself so I was sitting up, my butt cheeks feeling the cold floor beneath me. Somehow my shoelace became untied, and it tried to kill me. At least, my imagination thought it did. I ran my hands through my hair, expecting to find a lump or a pool of moisture or a soft spot where the top of my head had been opened, but found nothing. Frustrated, I got up and walked slowly in the direction of the exit. I could see it now, walking through the front door at home and my mom asking me why I looked so stoned. Gee, Mom, a cold ceramic tile kissed me. It was so passionate it almost knocked me out. Yeah, right. I had forgotten about the notion that someone had been following me until a shadow that was not my own appeared near my feet. I quickly turned around, ready to give anyone that was behind me a hard punch, but again, found nothing. The throbbing in my head intensified as my heart fiercely pumped away. In fact, it was beating so hard it hurt with a dull, throbbing ache. Panic. And when I tried to speak to self-soothe, my mouth produced nothing, causing me to choke on what felt like a vice around my neck. Anxiety swept over my body and the world turned into a dream. The only solid recollection I had was that I had to get out of the building. I walked down the hall as if I was drunk, trying so hard to keep a grip on reality. Everything I was ceased to exist, and now I was just a staggering man trying to keep his eyes open, straining to remember which way was out. Fear had become second nature to me, made my clothes stick to my body. I turned left at the next T-junction, certain it would take me downstairs and then outside. 2 to 3 minutes and I would be out. Thank God. Moisture now saturated my black, matted hair, and a salty taste met my lips as sweat formed its way around my mouth. I loosened the top button on my plaid shirt, hoping to release some heat and cool down. As if that was a cue to my stalker, that strange, intense heat plowed into me and it drained me of life. I immediately removed my shirt to reveal the white kissed t-shirt that I wore underneath. Sensing insanity was inevitable, I began to decipher the situation. Was I hallucinating? Was I lying unconscious on the art gallery's floor and this was all a dream? I didn't know, and to a large degree I didn't care. I just wanted to leave. Footsteps formed behind me, and a heavy breathing filled the room. It was not my own. I panicked and screamed, completely frustrated at not being able to see the cause of the breathing and not knowing which way was up. I jumped around to face my enemy, ready to rip their heart out if they were the ones who were causing me all this pain. But there, standing in front of me, was a tall, thin man with dusty, tattered rags for clothes. His face was partially concealed by the floppy hat he wore, but the lines of age that graced his face distorted his image entirely. He had no eyes, just black holes that felt as though they were looking right through me. I waited for him to make a move, but instead this ragman just stood there staring into my soul. After what seemed like an eternity, he raised his bony fingers and signaling for me to come closer. If I followed his instructions, I would be a complete fool and probably not live to see tomorrow. I had to be dreaming. This had to be a nightmare of my overly imaginative mind trying to freak me out. Yet, regardless of all my thoughts that raced in my head, I knew this was real. My mouth was dry, and my throat felt like cotton, and as much as I wanted to run away, I was incredibly drawn to the ragman. Struggling to put life into my legs, I forced myself away from him and ran in the other direction. Footsteps began to follow, and the heat intensified. I was burning. My skin began to boil. Making my way down the stairs rather quickly, I thought I saw someone in the corner of my eye. When I looked more closely, I saw it was only the security guard sitting at the front desk. I was relieved I wasn't anybody else. I looked back at him again and my bones jumped right out from under my skin. The ragman had taken his place. He grinned at me from under his big floppy hat, and his eyeless glare sent a shudder of fear throughout my entire body. My jog became a full sprint as I ran towards the exit. Finally, the door to the outside world was only a few paces away, and with satisfaction I knew I'd finally be rid of the ragman forever. I slowed down so I wouldn't crash through the glass-laced door, then gripped its handle and gave a good, solid push. I was free. Upon my entry into what was supposed to be the front steps leading up to the building, I found myself back outside the religious exhibit inside the art gallery where I originally fell and banged my head. Before, when I was here, I was the only one. But now there were a handful of people milling about, with a few of them gathered around together in a circle. I came over to see what was going on. They were gathered around someone lying on the floor. I stepped in further to take a closer look, and through my hazy gaze I saw that it was me, blood pooling around my head. Shock shook me through and through. A hand gripped my shoulder and turned me around. It was the ragman. "Welcome home," he said. Well, thanks for tuning in to that special story, The Ragman, and the reason why it's special is simply this. Back when I started writing, we're talking about 25 years ago, that was my first short story that I wrote when I was taking the writing craft seriously. And that's why I wrote the story, was simply to write what was a dark story and just sort of, at the time, explore the world of fiction. You know, like, what can you do, what can't you do? You know, and learning that there's just so many things to explore. And then when you're starting out as a writer, that's a big deal because, like, yeah, you have some experience reading books and that sort of thing in terms of what's out there, in terms of what's possible. But at that point, especially in a young life, you're not versed in every single book out there or whatever, right? You haven't heard every single story. You haven't done this or that. So, like, the fact that you could sort of learn as you go along and learn to sort of trust your imagination and kind of explore these different angles and these different ideas. And in this case, it was, you know, the art gallery and an accident, and then you know, what was real, what wasn't real, and then we turned out the Ragman was real, you know, and that's kind of what I was trying to play with that from the best of my recollection. That story as well also marked my first published short story through a publishing house called Quasar Realm Studios. They're not around anymore as far as I'm aware, but it was for a digital publication. It was my first paid job, which was great. I had the story prior to selling it. I didn't write the story because this person was asking for it. It just so happened to have a story, and this person and I connected, and somehow it came about where, in the end, he paid me for the story to run it in his online magazine. So that's pretty cool. And again, this is back in the infancy of online magazines as well. So doing to sell it to sort of that kind of venue at the time was not looked upon as, I would say, a good sale. You know, because back then a good sale was, you know, to a major magazine or to a major anthology publication or something like that, right? And at the time when websites were just starting up and, you know, people were posting stories and things like that, people were starting their own little digital publications, those things weren't considered quote-unquote real, you know, even though just by reading the stories you could tell that there was, you know, effort put behind it, the way things were assembled, there's effort put behind it. So this whole, like, story of the Ragman, this story behind the story is just this. It's like the infancy of my career. You know, I mean, I wrote that story and I was simultaneously writing my first novel, Stranger Dead, which is presently out of print, but will be coming back at some point in the future. The story is great. The writing needs some work. That's where we're at with that one. So, because it's my first novel, I want to go back and just, you know, take that story and just give it a good clean through so that you guys can have something special in the end. But anyway, yeah, back to Ragman. So, yeah, I just want to create a creepy character, a little creepy circumstance, and that's basically the story behind the story. But I think in the end, again, it just, to include it in this book, Magic Man plus 15 Tales of Terror, it just, for me, it was an honor in the sense of showing the reader, like, this is everything I have, man. You know, this is what I got. This is me. This is me being honest. And this is me from early stories in my career. This is me from later stories in my career. And I've always said that, you know, writing is about honesty. And part of it goes with just sharing yourself with the reader. As simple as that. You know, just saying, here's my stuff. What do you think? So, and that's what happened with Ragman, was here's my stuff, what'd you think? And lo and behold, it got sold. So, anyway, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you after the credits. And thanks for sticking around till after the credits. This one, I'm going to be honest, guys, it's a promo thing. Like, I, you know, these podcasts, I've been reading this season from Magic Man plus 15 Tales of Terror, and season one was half of Flash Attack, and both these books are available through all major online retailers, also your favorite online retailer, Brick and Mortar. Just give them the ISBN and or title and my name, and they'll be able to pull it up and get it in for you. So yeah, if you're able to, you know, support these books, support this podcast that way, by backing these stories, that would be really great. And that will help fuel and fund basically future podcasts. So if you want to help keep this podcast going, consider picking up a copy of Magic Man plus 15 Tales of Terror or Flash Attack. And yeah, either way, you're going to get some good stories. And if you want to have a sample, go back earlier in the podcast seasons and give them a try. But anyway, that's all I really wanted to do, is just say, you know, get help out. That'd be great. And I hope you guys are all having a good day today, whatever day of the week you're listening to this on. And I invite you to stay tuned to next episode, because the next episode is the last story from Magic Man. And there's a special thing for after the credits, so I want you guys around for that. So tune in next week, and we'll have one last hurrah from Magic Man plus 15 Tales of Terror.
And this is also maybe another story or two coming, but don't tell anybody, okay? Okay.